Good afternoon once again. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome back. Hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Full Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at fullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCR. It is a rather dark and cold and wet Tuesday afternoon here in central Wisconsin. And the thing about the last couple of days, you're starting to get some practice with your winter driving skills because we've had some light snow on and off over the last couple of days. It looks like it's going to stay winter-like here for at least a little while as we get into the middle portion of the work week to talk about what to expect weather-wise. We're again joined from Weatherology by our meteorologist, Ray Miller. Ray, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. It's one of those days where what you see is kind of what you get in terms of the weather. There's not going to be much change as we go through the rest of the afternoon. Still some lingering light snow showers and flurries. Temperatures hold steady in the low 30s with light east wind. Another dusting up to an inch of snowfall tonight. Temperatures in the mid-20s with light northeast wind. A little bit of light snow and flurry activity again on Wednesday with a high around 32 degrees. Thursday, cloudy with some light snow showers. Colder, temperatures in the mid-20s. Friday looks mainly cloudy and will be quite chilly, a high temperature of 18 degrees. And the cloud cover and temperatures in the teens continue for Saturday and Sunday as well. Looks like we'll be back into the 20s by the first part of next week. In the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
How times have changed. Talking about highs in the 20s being an improvement over what looks to be a very chilly weekend. Boy, it's going to be a real bundle-up weekend the way the weather forecast looks, doesn't it?
Yeah, those highs in the teens are colder than what our average overnight low is this time of year. Usually overnight, we'd expect temperatures in the mid-20s. We're not even going to get there for highs by the time we get to Friday and Saturday. So definitely an unseasonably chilly air mass moving across the region.
Okay, Ray, well, thanks for the information. We'll talk again tomorrow.
I'll see you then.
Right now in Wausau, some light snow is falling at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Temperature of 33 degrees. Winds are out of the northeast, very light at 3 miles per hour. The dew point is 28, relative humidity of 82%. The barometer at 30.17 inches, and visibility not great, 1.75 miles. And that's important for those of you like myself hitting the road later on this evening. In fact, I am heading to Loyal tonight. We do have high school girls basketball, yep. Start of the winter sports season. The Marathon Red Raider girls basketball team takes on the Loyal Greyhounds. We'll have live coverage. I'll be at Loyal High School 7 o'clock for the pregame, 7:15 for the opening tip-off right here on your home for Marathon, Wausau West, and Newman Catholic High School sports. During the winter, we'll have boys and girls basketball and boys and girls hockey right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Well, high school football is not done yet, but you know, over the years on the big high school sports show, I've said I get really annoyed when there's a couple of times when the Wisconsin Badger football team played on a Friday night. Big Ten would play Friday night games going up against the high school games. Always hate that. Well, this week, the Green Bay Packers play Thursday night, NFL Thursday night football. And nothing the Packers, I don't think, could have done about this. Every week there's a Thursday night game. But this week, Thursday night, Packers, also Thursday, state high school football finals. Thursday and Friday, you got games of Division 7, 6, 5, and 4 on Thursday, Division 3, 2, and 1 on Friday. And you just hate to see competition take away from the focus on the state championship high school games. And I know that in terms of the interest, in terms of the folks that are going to watch it, it's minuscule compared to the Green Bay Packers. I know that. Packers are king, always will be king here in Wisconsin. But at the same time, you just hate the thought that some of the focus taken away from the high school athletes when they don't have as many of the opportunities that the Green Bay Packers have. So again, I know there's really nothing the Pack could have done. It's a little different than when the Big Ten decided that they were going to do some early season Friday night games going head-to-head against high school football. In fact, Ohio State said, we're not going to do that. We're not doing that. We're not hosting a game on a Friday night going up against high school football in the state of Ohio. And I always, you know, may not like Ohio State, but I had respect for Ohio State in terms of saying no to that. But the Badgers have played at Camp Randall Stadium on Friday night. Hopefully that won't happen again. But again, I just want to see the high school athletes get the notice and the recognition they deserve. And that's something I try to do here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9. And again, congratulations to the Newman Catholic football team. They're the first state champions. The 8-player state championship game was played last Saturday with Newman knocking off Belmont by a score of 54-0. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to touch on Donald Trump. Yeah, I know it's going to make me feel dirty, but did we learn anything? Have we learned anything, even from the last week since the last election? We're going to find out when Donald Trump hits the campaign trail again, starting tonight with his announcement. So we're going to do that coming up next as we continue here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa. Cruising along here on this Tuesday afternoon. The time is 3:16, currently 33 degrees, some snow falling. Again, if you're getting off of work in the next hour or so, make sure you take a little bit of extra time. It's that time of year. First few times that you drive in winter conditions, you forget. You forget how when you hit that little piece of ice, when you find that slick spot, that it can be difficult. So again, as we get into November, getting closer and closer to Thanksgiving, Christmas, of course, when you're out and about doing these late year things, make sure you take a little bit of extra time on the roads and make sure you get to your destination safely. Mentioned we're going to talk about Trump. I came across during the last break. I'm just, you know, looking around, trying to keep up to speed on what's going on in the area, in the state, and around the world. And I came across a map from this election. Well, you know, the election from 7 days ago feels like it's been such a long time already. But I came across this map about the change in the Democratic and Republican vote share from the 2018 gubernatorial to the 2022 gubernatorial race by county. And if you look at the maps, many of the counties went more red, went more to Tim Michaels than to Tony Evers as compared to when Evers faced off against Scott Walker. But in terms of the number of votes and in some of the more populated areas, it went more from Evers than it was 4 years ago. And you look at some of the counties in southeastern Wisconsin. Percentage increases for the Democratic nominee, 16%, 13%, 7.5%, 8.1%. Dane County, 6.2% more towards the Democratic nominee. And here in central Wisconsin, it's actually interesting because here in central Wisconsin in recent elections, it's been Republican. Republicans have been able to carry anywhere from 15 to 20% ahead of the Democratic candidates. Some good news for the Dems here in Marathon County when it comes to the gubernatorial race last week. Compared to 2018, 3.5% increase in votes to Tony Evers. So Tony Evers made a significant increase in Marathon County. Tony Evers made an increase in Portage County, which is more of a Democratic county. That's been more of a closer 50-50 county. But Tony Evers had a 2.1% increase in his vote share last week than he did 4 years ago. Wood County was almost the same, basically 0.1% change from 4 years ago, 0.1% increase for the Republican candidate. Lincoln County, just north of us, had a 2.3% increase for the Republican candidate as compared to 4 years ago. But 3.5% increase for the Democratic share of the vote in the gubernatorial race here in Marathon County. Interesting. I found it very interesting. I would like to think that maybe the fact that Bull Falls Radio, Civic Media, came on board starting on August the 1st, be part of the general election campaign that give a different perspective to radio listeners here in Marathon County than they've had for many, many years. Could that have been a bit of a factor? I don't know. It's possible. I think it's good to have us here on Bull Falls Radio as we build. Of course, it's going to take time, but we're trying to build, trying to bring a different perspective here, talk what happens here in central Wisconsin and in the state of Wisconsin from a different point of view, maybe give you some things to think about. But 3.5%, that's, I think, a rather significant increase for Tony Evers. And in close elections, they all count. Every single one of these votes counts. So I think that's a positive. I'm curious to see as the civic media stations continue to be launched and Sage Weil and Mike Root, who run Civic Media, the owners of Civic Media, have made some big acquisitions around the state of Wisconsin. And I'm curious to see. I mean, WAUK in Waukesha, one of the flagship stations, part of Waukesha County, which was a big increase in the Democratic vote last week. Of course, got the station in the Madison area. Big increase in the Democratic vote. Those have been stations that have been on the air. But you look in the Fox Valley, lots of blue in the Fox Valley, in Brown County, in counties around it, 4.1% increase, 4% increase, 2.7% increase, 3.1% increase. So again, I think there's not a coincidence that if you give folks a chance to hear, I'm going to say it, some facts, here in central Wisconsin for many, many years, and a very successful radio station is WSAU. But they provide conservative talk 24/7. Their morning show talks about Tony Evers in a way that I think is unfair. I don't think it's truthful. But they have the big megaphone and they use it. And I think that's one reason why Democratic Party candidates have had a more difficult time here in central Wisconsin. They don't invite somebody like Bob Look. I saw Bob put out a posting on his social media a couple of weeks ago. A man who used to work for WSAU during his radio career. They never invited him on to talk about his campaign. Republicans don't want to come on our stations. We've invited Republicans. But I've not heard back after my invitations. And that if you're a Republican office holder out there right now and you'd like to appear on the show, hey, we can have a very civil conversation. I'm willing to talk to you. I'm willing to hear your point of view. But Bob wanted to go on WSAU. I've had him on this program a number of times during the campaign. He's good on the radio. I mean, he was a radio broadcaster for many years, but WSAU never invited him on the program. Is that right? Is that fair? No, it's not right. It's not fair. We should have perspectives from all sides. And the conservatives have had their perspectives. And when we first launched, there were a couple of people who made calls. Talking all that liberal stuff. What you doing talking all that liberal lies? No, that's not the case. But at the same time, I'm glad the guy was listening. I'm glad the guy heard it. I'm glad the guy, he can agree or disagree. But if you hear it and your eyes tell you that what I'm saying here is true, maybe it's going to sink in a little bit. I don't know. But I found this map very interesting. Again, a lot of the counties, you know, the rural counties had an increase for Republicans, but there were significant blue areas with significant blue increases. And again, for Republicans, I should say for Democrats, to close the gap in the state assembly, in the state Senate, they have to find ways in places like here in Marathon County to win elections, to win seats in the state assembly, to win seats in the state Senate. And hopefully over the next couple of years, it's leading to 2024, we'll have a chance to hear from future candidates running for office and to be able to educate. I'm trying to think of the right word, but enlighten. And at the very least, give people a chance to think. You know, they'll hear what they hear on WSAU. They'll hear what they hear over here. All I know is I'm not going to put out anything that I know is false. Know it. You know, maybe I'll say something that's wrong because I don't know everything. But at the same time, to have some, I'm not going to have a piece of paper that says one thing and then get on the radio and say something else. That's just not the way it works. So again, I hope that folks tune in here. Maybe folks tune in the morning over on SAU and hear their local morning show and get a different perspective. I'm more than willing to have the battle of ideas. And I think most Democrats are more than willing to have the battle of ideas. And that's why the gerrymandered lines in Wisconsin are infuriating. Because it should be a battle of the ideas. It should be a situation where if my idea is better than your idea, I should be able to go to the people and win that battle. But to go into a plus 21 Republican drawn district, I mean, intentionally moving the lines around to make it more Republican and then try to win the battle of the ideas is more difficult. It makes it very hard. And that's why, and I know you don't want to start thinking about the next election, but you're going to have to. The next election here in Wisconsin is the spring 2023 election. And during the spring 2023 election, one of the races you'll be voting on is for the state Supreme Court. There is an opportunity, if a progressive wins that race, there would be a 4-3 liberal majority on the court. We have not seen that in a long time. And then the possibility would be for the Supreme Court to toss out these gerrymandered lines and say, try again. Let's get a fair map. And that's one of the things that is also incredible in terms of, you know, just, you know, making you a little bit ticked off. You hear Democratic candidates, they want fair lines. They don't want gerrymandered to their specifications. Years ago, again, when Mandy Wright was the 85th Assembly District Representative, she'd come on my program, and we would talk, and she wanted fair lines. She tried to push forward legislation to have fair lines drawn. Not Democratic lines drawn, but fair lines drawn. And if the progressive can win in the spring and give the Supreme Court of Wisconsin a liberal majority, then there's the opportunity to go back to that court and they can say, hey, these are not fair lines. Let's throw them out and try again. That's what needs to happen. So again, it's just interesting looking at in an election that was expected to be a red wave, seeing some of the blue waves that occurred in the state of Wisconsin, maybe there's some hope to close that gap in both the state Senate and the state assembly sometime in the near future. So again, I just found that map interesting. And again, I found it interesting that 3.5%, a 3.5% gain for Tony Evers as compared to 4 years ago here in Marathon County. Again, I hope that it's partially, that maybe some information is coming out with all these programs we have now on Bow Falls Radio and on Civic Media. Have to take a break. We're going to come back. We have a news update coming up. We're going to find out what's going on around the country and around the world, plus a local news update as well. Then we'll have more. It is 3:28, snowy conditions, 33 degrees in Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes. Join former Bozeman head football coach Paul Novinsky and myself each Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM, 1230 a.m., online at bullfallsradio.com and mobile devices by searching WXCO. Each week, we will preview and review all the high school football action around Central Wisconsin, plus special guests. We'll be joined by one of our area high school football head coaches and also a special student-athlete guest as well. Plus, the kind of in-depth analysis you won't get anywhere else on the area conferences, teams, and a whole bunch more. Join Paul Davinsky and myself, Chad Holmes, each Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM and 1230 a.m., online at bullfallsradio.com and mobile devices by searching WXCO. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow at 2:15, we will have our talk about what's going on at the Grand Theater. We'll be joined by the Executive Director of the Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater, Sean Wright. Got the $1 million... I wish I had in front of me the big Christmas show, the $1 million Christmas show featuring Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis. We'll talk about that coming up, plus some other Christmas shows getting set to come to the Grand Theater. So again, 2:15, we'll be joined by Sean Wright. And then at 2:33, we will be joined by Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. We'll delve into the interesting results we saw last week in the election. We'll also look ahead, because I thought it was interesting yesterday when I had State Representative Katrina Shanklin on the air. Last question I asked her after her win, keeping her seat in the 71st Assembly District, winning by 15 points, a bigger victory than she had 2 years ago against the same opponent. I asked her, and I wasn't really expecting much of an answer. I asked her whether or not she'd be interested in running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. Derek Van Orden is now the new Republican representative. He'll take over for Ron Kind, who had been the representative since 1996. Derek Van Orden won by about 4 points over Brad Paff. I'd asked Katrina Shanklin yesterday whether or not she might be interested in running for that seat in a couple of years, whether or not she's thought about it. Was expecting maybe one of those political answers, but she came right out and said it, said, yeah, had been thinking about it, that she had been heard from supporters, that perhaps she would be a good candidate. So I would not be shocked if we see Katrina Shanklin run for the 3rd Congressional District against insurrectionist Derek Van Orden coming up in a couple of years. And that's something I'll ask Dan Schaefer tomorrow. Talk about the future. What can we expect to see in some of the races here in Central Wisconsin coming up in the next couple of years? So Dan Schaefer joining us for a couple of segments at 2:33 tomorrow. So both our guests in the first hour tomorrow. Sean Wright at 2:15 and Dan Schaefer at 2:33 tomorrow right here on the Chad Holmes Show. And don't forget, on Thursday, we'll be joined by John Robinson from the Marathon County Board of Supervisors. The county board passed their budget last Thursday evening. I'm going to break it down a little bit with John Robinson. What exactly was passed? How will it affect Marathon County here in the coming weeks and months? So we'll talk to John Robinson, former mayor of Wausau as well. Maybe get his thoughts on what happened in the election, because he's a man that's been around the block a few times. Last time I had him was just before the election. Asked him if he'd ever lost an election. He said no. You can't. Not many folks can say that. John Robinson, always successful, running for mayor of Wausau, running for the state assembly, and many years on the Marathon County Board as well. So got some good guests coming up in the next couple of days here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. So, you going to watch tonight? Don't watch tonight. Tune in. We have high school girls basketball tonight. Tune in to me. But no, tonight, Donald Trump just will not go away. I know it's probably silly to try to delve into his mind, but why isn't just living your life, enjoying the wealth that he was able to accumulate in different ways? Why is he running for president again? What does Donald Trump really want to accomplish? It's really interesting to try to delve into that man's head, because I don't understand why he has this need to again run for president. And for the people that decide that they're going to support Donald Trump again, what do they really want for this country? What do they want to see this country accomplish in those years if Donald Trump becomes president again? Is it truly as simple as Donald Trump hates the same people that they do? That Donald Trump is going to support those people and just leave everybody else in the dust? 5 minutes ago, the Lincoln Project, which was a bunch of Republicans who decided that Donald Trump was bad for America and did everything they could to make sure Donald Trump would not be reelected. But 5 minutes ago on Twitter, the Lincoln Project tweeted out, "Tonight, as you watch an orange-smeared circus clown gear up to take another stab at ending our democracy, remember this. When the Republican Party had a choice between Trump or America, they chose Trump over and over again." And that's one of the interesting things as well, when you hear what the Republican Party has been talking about if they would take control of the Congress. That they would start the investigations. They would be investigating Joe Biden. They would be investigating Hunter Biden. Bunch of investigations. Investigating Anthony Fauci. Investigating everything done during COVID. Investigation, investigation, investigation. But they did not want to investigate what happened on January the 6th, 2021. It shows that it is a circus. The capital of the United States of America was attacked, and the Republican Party does not want to investigate that. But they want to investigate Joe Biden for what? I don't know what Joe Biden has done that would be worthy of investigation, but it sure beats actually governing, right? And as Donald Trump announces tonight, and again, it would be a miracle that... You know, wouldn't it be something if Donald Trump, I'm going to say, Donald Trump went up there and said, "Afterthought, I've decided I'm not going to run for president of the United States again." Wouldn't that be wonderful for the country? Donald Trump has a chance to do something actually good for the country by saying, "I'm not going to run for president again." It's not as though, I mean, because if Donald Trump doesn't run, it appears that Ron DeSantis would have a pretty clear pathway to the Republican nomination. I'm not saying that Ron DeSantis is a whole lot better than Donald Trump. We've seen what he has done with the absolute fraud of taking desperate people looking for help against incredibly difficult circumstances, but putting them in a plane and sending them thousands of miles away without telling them. So Ron DeSantis is a piece of garbage himself. But Donald Trump has this weird hold on a portion of the American public that is dangerous in a way that we saw in the old videos. If you go on YouTube and look at the old videos of the 1930s, you wonder how that crazy man could get so many people to follow in line with him back in the 30s. And people maybe many years from now will look at videos of this country in this era and say, how did that crazy man get millions of people to follow him step by step while trying to change what this country has been for nearly 250 years. But let's assume for a moment that that miracle does not happen, that Donald Trump does decide that he's going to try again. We're going to have to go through this circus yet again. How should the media cover him? The networks, the cable networks, local radio shows like this one. I've seen people tweet out that the cable network should not be covering Donald Trump's announcement tonight. I don't think that's the right answer. I do think that you have to cover him differently than you did in 2016 and 2020, and stop treating him like he's not a fascist, like he's not the guy that led the insurrection of January the 6th, 2021, that he's not the guy that threatened the Secretary of State of the state of Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, when trying to overturn the vote in Georgia after the election of 2020, that he's not the guy that got on the phone with President Zelensky of the Ukraine and tried to blackmail him into getting dirt on Joe Biden. You have to treat him like the crook that he is. But by saying you're not going to cover his announcement tonight, I think you have to do that. He's a former president of the United States. You cover it. You then fact check what he says, and you move on. You have to cover the man. You do. I don't think you can say, I'm not going to cover Donald Trump, but you don't do it where you're showing empty podiums like the cable networks were doing in the past. We're waiting for Donald Trump. We're waiting for Donald Trump. We're going to talk about Donald Trump. Have to be fair about it. And I think the scary aspect is, financially, Donald Trump is a winner for the networks. Donald Trump brings ratings. I'll give him that much. That's the one thing he says that's true. Love him or hate him, people seem to want to watch and talk about Donald Trump. But this country has to be better. It has to be better than that. The media has to be better than that. It definitely has to be better than it was in 2016 and 2020. And stop the both sidesism of this. There was an article in the Political yesterday talking about both sides, both parties on both sides had problems with out of the mainstream candidates. And they tried to say that Mandela Barnes was out of the mainstream. Craziness, just craziness. You can't have a both-side system when only one side is truly at the far edges of the political spectrum. So tonight's going to be, I think, a depressing night. It's going to be a night that's not good for this country, because you're going to hear Donald Trump go up there. Will he have another escalator? I mean, it still boggles the mind that the guy who went down the escalator ultimately got the nomination of the Republican Party, did not get as many votes as Hillary Clinton, but ultimately was elected by the Electoral College as President of the United States. It's going to be a circus, and he's going to be the lead clown behind all that makeup. But I think you're going to have to listen. But please be aware of what is true and what is not true when Donald Trump gets out there and says he wants to again be president of the United States. Gotta take a quick break. We'll come back. One more segment to go. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
I've been looking for the map that leads me home. I've been stumbling on good hearts turned to stone. The road of good intentions is gone dry as a bone. We take care of our own. We take care of our own. Wherever this flag's flown, we take care of our own. From Chicago to New Orleans, from the muscle to the bone.
Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Also, get that Civic Media app. Download the Civic Media app. You can get Bull Falls Radio plus all the other Civic Media radio stations. Chad Holmes Show, 352 here on this Tuesday afternoon. It is the 15th day of November. We are at day number 319 of 2022. Some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. In 1777, the Second Continental Congress approved the Articles of Confederation. Did not work so well. Articles of Confederation ultimately were replaced by the Constitution. On this date in 1864, during the Civil War, Union forces led by Major General William Tecumseh Sherman began their march to the sea from Atlanta. The campaign ended with the capture of Savannah, Georgia on December 21st. In 1937, on November the 15th, at the U.S. Capitol, members of the House and Senate met in air-conditioned chambers for the first time. In 1942, the naval battle of Guadalcanal ended during World War II with a decisive U.S. victory over Japanese forces. On this date in 1939, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt laid the cornerstone of the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. In 1959, four members of the Clutter family of Holcomb, Kansas, were found murdered in their home. Ex-convicts Richard Hickok and Perry Smith were later convicted of the killings and hanged in a case made famous by the Truman Capote book, In Cold Blood. On this date in 1966, the flight of Gemini 12, the final mission of the Gemini program, ended successfully as astronauts James Lovell and Buzz Aldrin splashed down safely in the Atlantic after spending 4 days in orbit. In 1969, 250,000 protesters staged a peaceful demonstration in Washington against the Vietnam War. 1984, Stephanie Faye Beauclair, the infant publicly known as Baby Faye, who had received a baboon's heart to replace her own congenitally deformed one, died at Loma Linda University Medical Center in California 3 weeks after the transplant. I was a very young person back then. I remember that. It was, you know, it's always so sad, heartbreaking when a child has to go through something like that. On this date in 2001, Microsoft releases the first Xbox game in the U.S. First Xbox game console. On this date in 2003, two Black Hawk helicopters collided and crashed in Iraq. 17 U.S. troops were killed. In 2019, Roger Stone, a longtime friend and ally of President Donald Trump, was convicted of all 7 counts in a federal indictment accusing him of lying to Congress, tampering with a witness, and obstructing the House investigation of whether Trump coordinated with Russia during the 2016 campaign. As Stone was about to begin serving a 40-month prison sentence, Trump gave him a pardon. 10 years ago today, the Justice Department announced that BP had agreed to plead guilty to a raft of charges in the 2010 Gulf of Mexico oil spill and pay a record $4.5 billion fine, including $1.3 billion in criminal fines. 1 year ago, President Joe Biden and China's Xi Jinping spoke for more than 3 hours by video amid mounting tensions in the U.S.-China relationship. Also, 1 year ago today, big one for Joe Biden, the president signed his hard-fought $1 trillion infrastructure deal into law before a bipartisan celebratory crowd on the White House lawn. 1 year ago today, a Connecticut judge found InfoWars host and conspiracy theorist Alex Jones liable for damages in lawsuits brought by parents of children killed in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. And also 1 year ago today, Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont said he would not seek re-election in 2022 to the seat he had held since 1975. Some celebrity birthdays being celebrated today. Singer Petula Clark, famous for Downtown and other great hits. Petula Clark is 90 years old today. Actor Sam Waterston, best known from Law & Order, is 82. Pop singer Frida from ABBA is 77. Former New Mexico governor and cabinet member Bill Richardson is 75 years old today. Actress Beverly D'Angelo is 71 years old today. Former CBS News and current Fox News correspondent John Roberts is 66. Former Tonight Show band leader Kevin Eubanks turning 65 years old today. Comedian Judy Gold is celebrating her 60th birthday today. Also celebrating birthdays today, actor Johnny Lee Miller, he turns 50. Rock singer, musician Chad Kroeger from Nickelback is 48 years old today. Actress Shailene Woodley, former girlfriend of Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers, Shailene Woodley turning 31 years old today. So those are some of the celebrity birthdays. If you are out there celebrating your birthday today on the 15th of November, happy birthday to you from all of us here at Bull Falls Radio WXCO. Tomorrow, 2:15, we will be joined by Sean Wright, Executive Director of the Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater. Tomorrow at 2:33, we'll be joined by Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area talking about last week's election and what comes next. So that's coming up tomorrow. Don't forget, join me tonight starting at 7 o'clock, high school girls basketball. The Marathon Red Raiders take on Loyal. 7 o'clock pregame, 7:15 opening tip right here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up, 4 o'clock sharp, CBS News at the top of the hour, and then it is the Devil's Advocates. Mike and Dom starting at 4:06. Have yourselves a great rest of the day, and thanks for joining us on WXCO.